Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Burnley Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, the next 30 minutes is your Claret's Takeover. Time for you to get in touch tonight. Have your say. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. We've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance. And there is so much to discuss where Burnley is concerned in a minute. That brilliant unbeaten Premier League run now. 7 games for Sean Dyche's side. They were held to a draw with Spurs on the weekend. Was it 2 points dropped? The amount of chances they had, especially in that dominant first half. Well, a man who joins us now and to tell us all about it is the brilliant Chris Bowden from the Burnley Express. Chris, always good to get you back on. A couple of weeks since we've spoken on the Burnley Fan Show, but at the minute, we said they had to get through this rocky road, this sticky patch Burnley. They've done that, and at the minute, they are playing with not only confidence, but expressing themselves and playing a brand of football that everyone else wants to play and wants to see.
Yeah, they look a different side from that. That sort of, I think they lost 7 out of 9 sort of either side of New Year's Day, if you will. But it's, yeah, I think a lot of people looked at the side on Saturday and presumed Chris would come back in just on the basis that he's, you know, he's the club's top scorer and he's been probably Burnley's most productive striker over 3 seasons. But you know, I think a lot of people's concern was that, you know, Burnley had gone back to sort of hitting him, you know, early and often, and that wasn't the case really. They've sort of continued playing the sort of football that they played with Vidra and Jay Rodriguez linking well, sort of really really productive, you know, high tempo stuff. You know, still ratting at teams and getting at teams and winning the ball as high as possible, but really moving the ball quickly through the thirds and you know, using the talents of Dwight McNeil on the left-hand side as well.
Yeah, before we talk about that team performance on the day and this 7-game unbeaten run, let's talk about Chris Wood, because obviously getting that goal, putting Burnley deservedly in front. But we're talking about Chris Wood now, who has netted 11 league goals this season, his best ever top flight campaign. And he's actually the third Burnley player to get more than 10 goals in a Premier League season after Ashley Barnes, who got 12 last season, and Danny Ings, who got 11 in the 2014-15 season. And with still games to go, he can even and go one better, Chris Wood. But how important is he to this side? And like you said also, Chris, alluding to there, Vidra was dropped and, you know, maybe not a surprise, but Vidra has done brilliantly over those last few games. But Chris Wood showing this is why you start him.
Yeah, Wood's a bit of a, you know, bit of a jack of all trades, master of none, really. You know, he's not lightning quick, but, he, you know, he's not slow. You know, he hangs on defenders' shoulders and likes to run in behind and stretch teams, as he has done ever so well. You know, the last two times Tottenham have been to Turf Moor in particular. But you know, he's decent touch and technique. He's excellent in the air. You know, and he can poach goals. He scores all sorts of different goals. I mean, if you look at his goals reel, you know, for New Zealand as well, all sorts of, you know, strikes from 25 yards out the area, you know, little chips, you know, poachers, finishes, headers, everything really. But he's proven over 3 years or so. I mean, my one complaint really about Wood is that, you know, you think for a 6'4" Kiwi, you know, and you in your mind's eye you've got like one of the All Blacks or something like that, and he doesn't really punch his weight at times physically, but he seems to have been a bit more aggressive. Certainly over, the sort of middle third of this season, and then, you know, he's in great nick, really.
Yeah, maybe not using his size and his power and his weight to his full advantage. not only did Spurs get back into the game with a penalty, it was a bit of a soft one maybe, but obviously a mistake by Ben Mee, a very rare mistake, who's, you know, Mr. Reliable, captain fantastic for Burnley. But there was another penalty in the game, Chris, that made headlines and talking points. Sean Dyche saying he fears football is in a dangerous territory after his Burnley side were denied a penalty of their own, and he said the game's got to be really careful now which way we're going. You know, if Chris Wood, you know, flings his arms in the air and goes flying across the floor, he gets a penalty. He's trying to be honest, and he said it actually worked against him. Referee John Moss coming in for a lot of stick. What do you make on the situation?
Yeah, well, I thought the Spurs penalty was a penalty. I think, you know, Ben's misjudged the pass and he's ended up clipping Lamella on the ankle. Probably a bit like Fred yesterday, where is there enough contact for him to go down? Yeah, probably. Yeah, I mean, it's one of that. I thought it was a penalty anyway. But the Sanchez challenge on Wood, I can't for the life of me see how that's not being given. I see you're looking at Keith Hackett, the former referee on Twitter. He was, you know, saying it's a bang to rights, it's a penalty. And Dermot Gallagher's defended John Moss on Sky this afternoon. But I just can't. You know, Sanchez misreads that. Wood's trying to take it on his chest and spin, and he just smashes through the back of him. I think Dermot Gallagher's justification, you know, there's going to be physical contact and an aerial challenge. Well, is that just gives carte blanche to centre-halves to smash centre-forwards all over the place, that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a really strange one. I've watched it, and, you know, obviously we try to look at it from both ways when we're doing a fan show. We can't be overly biased, even though it is the Burnley fan show, Chris. But like you said, there is no way this isn't a penalty, and I think that's why Sean Dyche felt so aggrieved, because he said if this is a foul anywhere else in the box, you know, anywhere else on the field, excuse me, then it's a foul, you know, it's straight away called on, and Burnley don't get this decision, and it has now cost them 2 points. And he said he felt there was something with a ref, the Spurs players maybe surrounding him at half time, and he said the referee's performance changed in that second half.
Yeah, I mean, he was sort of at pains, the manager, after the game, to sort of say, you know, I'm just stating fact here, that he saw a couple of members of the Spurs staff in the referee's ear on the way to the tunnel, not in the tunnel, you know, and he would just sort of make of that as you will, because he felt that the referee's performance was different. I think there was certainly a different threshold on bookings. You know, I think there was, of the 9 bookings, I think 8 were in the second half. Mm. And, you know, certainly a couple of challenges from Ndombele in the first half that I thought were certain yellow cards, and he didn't get a booking on either occasion. Alderweireld pulled on Jay Rodriguez's shirt as he's turned him, pulled him down, gives a free kick, but there's no card. I mean, I thought these were sort of statutory bookings, really. But for 9 bookings in a game where not really an horrendous challenge of note, it was just, I don't know, just the game is getting softer and softer, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a bit of a strange one, 9 bookings. I think it's a Premier League high either this season or since Chelsea-Arsenal game. But like you said, 8 of those bookings coming in the second half. Maybe referee John Moss losing control of that game. But Burnley obviously on the wrong end of a decision and on the wrong end of VAR, because we know VAR's had its problems this season, Chris. But once again, we don't even actually know if VAR looked into this penalty incident at all, do we?
No. I mean, to be fair, there's been instances this season in the press box where VAR has looked at something and we've been in the dark about it in the press box. And if we are, I'm imagining the supporters are around the ground. Again, I couldn't tell you whether they have looked at it, whether they haven't looked at it. Mm. But, you know, I honestly don't know. But surely that's got to be play's got to be stopped there, and we'll have another look at that, you know, just to get a different viewpoint on it. Because so many people feel there is a clear and obvious error on that decision.
Yeah, and I think maybe, Chris, and I know you're connected with the Burnley fans and working for the Burnley Express, maybe they've come away from the game with Spurs on Saturday feeling a little bit, you know, a little bit disappointed, frustrated, losing 2 points, only coming out of a point. But there is still so many positives. We're talking about a Burnley side now who actually have nudged into the top half of the table, are unbeaten in 7 games and actually unbeaten in the past 14 Premier League matches in which they've led at the break. And this shows that just the Burnley side, when they do get their noses in front, they take the lead. Very hard to break down afterwards. Teams struggle to get back into the games, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I say in terms of stats this season, I'm off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you their record in terms of taking the lead. But they do pretty much in the season they finished seventh and got into Europe. If they did go in front, that was it. It was. I think they dropped in. A couple of points all season in that regard. You are very confident if Burnley can take the lead. We're talking to Ben Mee, the captain, the other week, and he's saying the same sort of thing at Southampton. As soon as as soon as Vids were putting them in front, the players sort of felt, yeah, this is us now. Well, nothing daft, nothing silly. Let's just hold on to what we've got and try and nick one if we can. But we're confident we're going to hold on to this at bare minimum. But it's startling, that record. But you come away from, I say, probably did come away feeling a touch disappointed not to have to won the game, based on chances in the first half, a couple of Vida chances, and after Spurs had equalised, and you felt that there was going to be a bit of a grandstand finish at the end. But you come away talking about Dwight McNeil, who I don't know if people saw the little glimpse of his ability on Saturday. Don't mind the crossing in the first half. In the second half, where he comes away from Lo Celso and then he nutmegs Alderweireld, and Lo Celso has to literally pull him to the ground by his shirt because he's just absolutely. We're going to be lucky to see this lad in a Burnley shirt. I don't know how long it's going to be, but just enjoy him while we can.
Yeah, just quickly on Dwight McNeil, because he's a wonderful talent. We spoke about him as a prospect and his ability, and what he's doing at such a young age for Burnley. But now there's even now, I've seen it a little bit in the media talking about potentially gate-crashing Gareth Southgate's England Euro squad for the summer. And not just that, Chris. Maybe, he's certainly going to play a part in those under-21s games. There's a match later this month, which is at Turf Moor against Turkey. And he's looking to be the centrepiece of these games, isn't he?
Oh, very much so. I mean, you do wonder, in terms of the senior side for the summer, I mean, you'd imagine the Italy game at Wembley is going to fall by the wayside. So we're probably only going to, possibly have the game against Denmark before. I think they named the squad on the day of the... did they play Switzerland? Mm. The last friendly before the finals? I just think it's... unless you're a Grealish, a player of that sort of profile. I don't think you're really going to break into the plans at this stage, maybe. But Dwight's going to, he's on all the posters advertising the under-21 game. He's probably going to, start on his home ground and, try and really make a name for himself at that level before he gets into the senior setup. But Gareth Southgate, he must be rubbing his hands. The likes of McNeil and Foden, he's sort of
Madison, Grealish.
Grealish, he has to be in the squad.
It's incredible, Chris. You mentioned it there, and even a Burnley perspective and a non-Burnley perspective, we're looking at an England side, for the future. These players like Dwight McNeil, going to be the core of the side for years to come. It's just so much excitement, the wealth of options we have. Chris, we always appreciate you coming on the Burnley Fan Show tonight and giving us a little bit of time. We know how extremely busy you are. Chris Bowden there from the Burnley Express on the Burnley Fan Show. Remember to check Chris out, because all their articles and the work that him and Dan Black do at Burnley Express and everyone else, just so insightful into what is going on this season at Turf Moor. But there is still so much more to come on the second half of the Burnley Fan Show.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Burnley Fan Show on Love Sports Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, we've already heard from Chris Bowden tonight from the Burnley Express, and we can also hear from you as well. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. But I'm delighted to say once again, joining us now is Andy Jones, Burnley correspondent for The Athletic. Andy, really good to get you back on. Again, a couple of weeks since we've spoken to you as well. I know someone, you know, you're always in and around the team. The insight that you get for us is always great to have on the show. 1-1 on the weekend with Spurs. We were just speaking to Chris about that result, but more importantly, we were speaking to Chris about how frustrated, annoyed Sean Dyche was that his side didn't get a penalty. You're someone that's in and around the team. What did you make of that incident towards the end of the game and Sean Dyche's frustrations?
I can understand it. I think when you sort of look at the incident and you see it a couple of times with Sanchez on Chris Wood, for me it's a penalty because, and I think sort of Dyche sort of pointed this out, the fact that if it's anywhere else on the pitch, it's a foul. So then there shouldn't be any difference when it's in the box. And Sanchez, you know, comes through the back of Chris Wood and basically stops him from turning after he's chested the ball down and could potentially have got a shot away or, you know, worked an opening for somebody else. So his frustrations are understandable. And it's one of them where you look back and, you know, you think that could have been, a massive turning point in the game because Tottenham had been better in the second half. Burnley had bossed the first. Tottenham had come back into it, but Burnley had shifted the momentum again and got themselves back into the game. And you know it's just disappointing because you know on another day another referee may have given it, but it's just one of those decisions unfortunately that's gone against them.
Yeah, and we know Burnley did have that momentum from a dominant first half display, and we know Spurs aren't at the greatest at the minute. They're going through a really tough time under Jose, you know, struggling to get results. But this would have still been a fantastic 3 points. It was still a fantastic point. But I know a lot of the frustrations the fans are feeling in the last couple of days. What is the mindset around the club? Was it 1 point gained or 2 points dropped, Andy?
A little bit of both, really. And I think that shows sort of, you know, how far Burnley have come, you know, since they came back up under Sean Dyche. And that the fans are becoming disappointed that, you know, not taking 3 points in these types of games. And it shows how competitive Burnley are able to be. Obviously, they had a couple of people, they struggled massively against Spurs away from home this season. But in this run of seven games, you know, they've beaten United. Beaten United, beat Leicester at home. You know, should have beat Arsenal at home again. A similar game in that, you know, Burnley had plenty of chances, more chances against Arsenal, but you know, good chances in both games to take 3 points. And I think that there is that sense that Burnley played really well. You know, created the chances as I've said, and Spurs weren't quite on it, which was quite evident in the first half. You know, Burnley were excellent in the way they, you know, kept winning the ball back. Much more energy than Spurs, pressed really well, looked creative with the ball. But at the same time, you have to sort of put it into perspective and always, you know, getting those points on the board and tallying them up to get to initially a 40-point marker and then hopefully, you know, beyond that. So you can look at it both ways, really, that one, you know, it was a good point, you know, on the board, but at the same time, with the way the game went, you do look back at it and think, oh, if, you know, ball had bounced a little bit there or someone had been able to get a better shot away. Just the little breaks of the ball. In a way, it was 2 points dropped because Burnley could easily have won the game.
Yeah, they could have easily have won the game. I wanted to, I've been meaning to get you on the show, shall I say, Andy, for the last couple of weeks, because there's been a bit of a big debate with Nick Pope, Dean Henderson, Jordan Pickford, and we didn't get a chance to speak to you last week, and we know you're someone who's in and around the club at the press conferences. What are you making of Nick Pope? Because we know the answer, but there's this little bit of big club bias. Dean Henderson on loan from Man United. Everyone's raving about him, and it's almost a little bit like Nick Pope is the forgotten man out of the trio. What do you make of the whole situation?
It's a little bit odd for me, because Nick Pope, for me, it should be, in my opinion, England number one, or at least, you know, if Jordan Pickford is going to keep that, then Nick Pope should be the next man up. You know, he's been in and around the England setup now for a while. Obviously, he had the injury which kept him out. But, you know, before that, he was in there. And it's a difficult. I can understand why people are, you know, seeing, calling for Dean Henderson to come in. I mean, the saves against Norwich at the weekend were, you know, were excellent. But Nick Pope's this season's been just consistently very good, and when he has made little mistakes, he's, you know, corrected them. And like a lot of the Burnley players, sort of, they are now currently in sort of one of their best patches of form, you know, for they've ever had in the Burnley shirt. And Nick Pope's the massive example about this. And obviously the debate is always about, you know, his ability to use the ball. But Dean Henderson, you know, Sheffield United don't necessarily pass the ball out the back themselves. I think Henderson and Pope's pass accuracy are two of the lowest in the league. So it's not as if Henderson is, you know, doing the things that Jordan Pickford, for example, is doing with his feet. And Pope is just so reliable, commands his area so well. And for me, Nick Pope is the man who should be, if Jordan Pickford is, you know, Gareth Southgate may well stick with Pickford. And that's fair. That's his decision to make. But I think that it would be very, very harsh on Nick Pope for him, considering he's been sort of that number two, to not be the next man to step up and give him the chance to you know, take the shirt and be England's number one, possibly in the European Championships in the summer.
Well, this is it. And take nothing away from Dean Henderson's performance for Sheffield United. He's been brilliant this year, but as has Nick Pope. And not only that, he's been in the Premier League and doing this more consistently for Burnley, over the last couple of seasons, whereas Dean Henderson has burst onto the Premier League this year. And that sort of brings me back, Andy, do you think there is a little bit of this bigger club bias we see?
I think possible. I think when it comes to Burnley, you can certainly argue that the likes of James Tarkowski, and it will be interesting to see the squad that Gareth Southgate names for the upcoming internationals at the end of March, because, and Dice just spoke about this, particularly after Newcastle, sort of the players that he thinks Gareth Southgate was at the Newcastle game, and while it wasn't the greatest performance for Burnley going forward, Charlie Taylor was excellent, and Dice has spoken before about him being, you know, he should be in the thinking. Dwight McNeil as well, again, didn't have the greatest game against Newcastle, but should be in the thinking. And James Tarkowski, who I think he would probably admit is probably in his best, you know, one of the best spells of form, you know, he's been in. And I think there can be, and I think Dean Henderson, obviously he's on loan from Manchester United. Sheffield United themselves have been, as you say, he has been excellent. You know, you can't knock Dean Henderson, and you can understand why he's in the conversation, because he has been very, very good this season, and a key part of Sheffield United being able to be where they are in the league table. But there is that sense that do Burnley get a little bit, you know, ignored when it comes to these national teams, because they're not, you know, they're not the most stylish football team. They're not fashionable. Opposition fans are constantly talking about how, you know, they wouldn't want to watch it every week. But you have to give Burnley credit. They play their way, and it is entertaining, as people will have seen when they tuned in to watch the game on Saturday against Tottenham. There was a lot of, you know, really good football in there. A lot of good attack and play, creativity. So I can understand that. The viewpoint that they do get a little bit ignored,
yeah.
And there could be a bit of bias in there towards the big clubs.
Yeah, like you said, we'll only be able to tell and say more on this matter, Andy, when that squad is revealed. It's going to be an interesting one from that Burnley perspective. And it is Man City on the weekend, a massive clash. They actually have another game. They play Arsenal on Wednesday. They didn't get the best of results yesterday to their fierce rivals, Man United. Their domestic form may be going a little bit wayward, and they're concentrating on Europe. What do you make of the fixture on the weekend?
Well, it'd be interesting, and especially because I think they've got the game after Burnley is Real Madrid, which is probably their, you know, well, it will be their main focus. Let's be honest, they're not going to win the league now. Liverpool have, you know, need to win two games from the remaining nine, which is, you know, or three games. It's going to happen at some point. So Man City's focus is, you can imagine, is definitely going to be, you know, fully on Real Madrid, which means they might, you know, pick a weaker side to play Burnley. But, you know, with Manchester City, their weaker side is still extremely, extremely good, and Burnley are going to have to be, you know, the top of the game. It's not been the greatest of places for Burnley to go recently. I mean, FA Cup especially, they've been on the end of a few big defeats. But Burnley, and as I say, Man City have the, as you said, Man City have the game in midweek against Arsenal, which, you know, again, will more minutes into their legs, and then their focus will probably mainly be on Real Madrid, and you know they'll obviously, you know, be preparing for Burnley and want to win the game and keep, you know, putting points on the board in the Premier League, but their focus will be on Real Madrid, so it will be interesting their team selection, and it might be something that Burnley can take advantage of, but equally Burnley will go, you know, full of confidence and thinking that they can affect Manchester City, because Manchester City this season, it's been shown that teams can get at them and teams can get results against them. I think they've lost 7 now in the league. And yes, okay, the December game, it was arguably Manchester City's one of their best performances in the league this season. They were excellent at Turf Moor. So again, an element of revenge, a little bit like Tottenham. On Saturday.
Yeah, such a good point. Obviously, with them having Madrid as well, they maybe won't have their full eye on this game. And Burnley go into this game on that unbeaten run, the momentum with them. Very, very quickly for you, Andy, a score prediction. Put you on the spot.
It's difficult to predict because you don't know what team Manchester City will play. I think Burnley will feel confident and they'll keep it close. I'd still probably think City might edge you. But equally, Burnley, you know, could get a point if they defend like they have recently. Then, you know, they will make it difficult for City to score. So I'm going to be positive and go 1-1.
Good man. You couldn't go against it. You couldn't go against him on the Burnley Fan Show. Andy, always a delight to speak to you. Andy Jones, their Burnley correspondent for The Athletic. And brilliant articles with Andy. Make sure you check them out. One dropped only this morning, all about Jay Rodriguez. A brilliant article from Andy. So check him out just for that extra Burnley content like we do on the Burnley Fan Show every Monday, 10 to 10.30, right here on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.